We are recording now. We're sitting at 115 Stepping Stone Lane in Orchard Park, New York. The zip code is 14127, and the telephone number is 716-667-3167.
What am I supposed to talk about?
No, you're supposed to say your name.
Oh, my name is Colin Stewart Watt, W-A-T-T.
You're also a junior.
I'm also being known, I'm known as Stu.
Who else do we have here?
What's your name?
It doesn't take a picture, so you can just say your name.
I'm Ruth, that's all.
What's your full name, Ruth?
Oh, Ruth Hazel Parker Keller Watt.
Excellent, thank you very much.
This is a marriage certificate.
I have a copy of that marriage certificate of your father and mother. Right now, Dad has a series of papers, and he's going through the papers, looking at them. Yeah, you sent a note off to a number of people at one point. David wrote it in regards to the McGowan family.
Oh, yeah, this is a search for that.
Certificate of death.
Colin S. Watt, Sr.
Registrar's certificate, notice pursuant to a marriage notice. The 5th day of April 6th, Colin Stewart Watt, bachelor mechanical engineer from Laurel Street, and Alexandra Annie McGowan, spinster, certified nurse.
That's the address, Partick.
Yep, Partick, Glasgow. In 1916, it says, April 1916.
Family.
That's Jim.
Family status.
I, James Alexander Watt, was born on
April 29th, 1919.
Arrived in the city of Quebec, Canada, with passport June 3rd, 1923. Left Canada with passport issued from American Consular Service, North Bay, Ontario, May 1st, 1928. Arrived in USA by way of Suspension Bridge, Niagara Falls, August 3rd, 1928. Residing in Cleveland, Ohio. Father received employment August 10th, 1928 at Buffalo, New York employer Pierce Arrow Motor Company.
Well, this is part of the history, so.
Let's put these over here with this group. Dad's calculation of interest and payments on the Partridge Avenue House C survey.
There he is.
Picture of your dad.
Good looking.
A calendar starting at 28 and going through 33 that you wrote up. A picture of Dad with a birdhouse he built as a teenager.
Yeah, in Auburn, Indiana.
Whoa, be careful. One second. This is a certificate, registry of birth of Alexander Annie McGowan. Born 15th January 1887. Witness my hand. And they have the witness and registrar. Got to keep that. That's important to have. That's the original. Yeah, this was the written by your mother, and it matches with the handwritten one you have a few pages when you have in the other pile.
Yes.
And a picture of your mother at time frame written in my mother's handwriting, Alexandra Annie McGowan Watt, mother of Colin Stewart and James Alexander. And there's no year. All right, so you want to try to go back and see if we can find out.
I'll put this stuff on here.
Go get those first sheets you got. Put those up there. There. That one goes up there. That's the marriage registration.
Okay.
So this is the section. So the first question is, date you left Scotland, month, day, year, or season?
You want me to talk about it or just say it is what it is, right?
You choose. It's your choice.
Okay. And we left Scotland on May 23rd, 1923, and arrived in Quebec by paper passport June the 3rd, 1923. Family left Canada by passport issued at North Bay, dated May 1st, 1928. Arrived in the USA via Suspension Bridge, August the 3rd, 1928. Going to Cleveland to stay with an aunt. That was my mother's aunt. Father got work with Pierce Earle, Buffalo, August the 10th, 1928, till about August the 29th. August 1929. Then got temporary work in Hagerstown, Maryland, still following the automobile drafting period. In January the 30th, Father then was employed by General Motors Detroit for their Walkerville plant. Family then on February the 10th moved from Buffalo to Windsor, Ontario via the Peace Bridge and rail, and then Walkerville, and overstaying the allowed period unintentionally when Father was again laid off from General Motors. Found our own papers had to be renewed. As returning citizens, Father got his visa for himself and two sons. August 1930. Mother, having to wait for birth certificate from London, England, got her visa October 1930. Father then was employed by the Auburn Company out of Auburn, Indiana. Father filled first papers of intention in Fort Wayne on or about April 1931. We at that time resided at 808 Van Buren Street, Auburn, later residing at East 16th Street, Auburn. Father subsequently being in Studebaker, Union City Automobile Company, being resident in Auburn from 1930 till October 1917.
Oops, October 17th, 1933. Sorry.
Okay. Father, having filed first papers in April 1931, had then to wait a year before applying for final papers, which he filled in 1936, receiving his final citizenship November 1937. James studied at School 8 in Buffalo, then at Technical High School, also in Buffalo. Colin Stewart Watt Jr. attended Technical High School, studied drafting, graduated valedictorian of his class, age 21. Okay.
Okay, so we're just going to go through the questions here.
All right. Let's put this over here.
So we've got the date you left Scotland. So what kind of ship? Was it a freighter or passenger that you went on?
It was a passenger ship.
And what do you remember of the ship when you were there or on the ship, and how old were you?
I was 6 years old, and I was one of these kinds of kids that liked to go explore all over, and that's what I did on the ship.
Did you stay with your brother or do it by yourself?
I did it mostly by myself.
What do you remember of any of the explorations, or just that you were just going all over the ship?
And we just went all over the ship as far as where we, what kind of a cabin we had. I haven't any remembrance.
Do you remember being up on deck or anything?
Oh, yeah. We went, we could look out on the ocean, and because we could go up to the main deck.
Did you get sick or feel like it was nothing you remember?
Nothing I can remember as being sick.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the name of the ship?
As near as I can remember, it was the Montrose.
And do you have any idea how long it took you to get across?
I can't remember that.
And what port do you remember leaving from, or do you?
It was someplace near Glasgow.
And your father had come back to pick you up and your mother and your brother? So he had come in to, I assume he returned to get you, or was he working in Glasgow at the time?
He was working in Glasgow, and he left because of the fact that he wanted more money.
Do you remember if the boat stopped anywhere on the way over? In other words, like Ireland or Greenland or anything like that?
I don't think it did.
Did anyone come with you, then the family, or was it just the nuclear family of you, your mother and brother and father?
That's all it was, the nuclear family.
And you were 6 years old, you said?
6 years old.
And Uncle Jim was?
4 years old.
And during the voyage, like you say, you went about the ship. Anything else that you saw that stuck out in your mind, no matter how minor that might have been?
No, I just enjoyed walking around on the ship, going up and down the stairs.
Now, I think you said at one point in time on another discussion without this recorder on that you were in what class on the ship? What deck?
We were way down in the deck, and I can only say that whatever the cheapest rate of transportation was, that's where we were.
And you had a cabin?
I think so.
And do you remember anything else about the ship or the travel over?
No, just always exploring more about the ship, but now I can't. This is just what I thought I did.
Mm-hmm. What port did you arrive at?
Montreal.
And do you know approximately when you arrived? What time of year?
We left Scotland on May 23rd, 1923, and arrived Quebec on June the 3rd, 1923.
Mm-hmm.
So it took quite a few days.
And were you greeted by any relatives that were already in Canada when you arrived?
I can't remember if we had any relatives greeting us, but we did have relatives in Montreal.
And who do you remember that would be relatives in Montreal?
Aunt Lily, and there was a brother, Uncle Willie, I guess it was, Willie McGowan.
And these were on your mother's side?
This was on my mother's side.
And why did you come to Canada? Why did you come through Montreal?
Because of the fact that an English citizen or a Scotch citizen, and you can go to Canada with no passports or any other thing. Just go.
So even though, you know, your mother wrote in her papers you arrived by passport, and you had passports, you were part of the Commonwealth of Great Britain.
Great Britain, right.
And so you could travel there very easily.
Right.
And where did you go initially when you arrived? What town did you stay in?
The first town I can remember is Lachine, outside of Montreal.
And did you go to school there?
I went to school there. I can't remember much about the school that was in Lachine, but we went to school.
Mm-hmm. And most of the Montreal area today is French-Canadian. And was it a French school that you went to?
No, it was French. It was Canadian. And we, as near as I can remember, we talked English.
And do you remember if your dad found work right away? Had he come over and gone to Montreal because he had a potential job there?
He didn't have a job. He went and found one in a machine shop. And he started working almost within a few days of arriving in Scotland or in Canada.
And the family found housing. Did they stay with relatives to begin with, or someone? How did you find anything you can remember?
I think we stayed with relatives, Aunt Lily, but that's not real impressed on my mind.
While you were there, did your mother, was she working, or was she mostly taking care of you two?
She was taking care of us and taking care of Dad.
In the house, yeah.
Yeah, and cooking and stuff like that.
And what are your first impressions of Canada? Was there anything new or different from Scotland that you liked or didn't like?
Well, I mean, all I remember is we did still walk around in the areas that we lived in, and we found a house, and it was a flat, and that's how we, you know, he got the job and was able to support his family.
So when you got here, you, for the most part, you rented a place.
We rented.
As opposed to bought a house.
No.
Financially, how much money do you think he came over with?
$50.
And came into Canada, sorry.
And he had relatives, so.
And yet, it wasn't his side of the family, it was your mother's side of the time. Besides, you know, clothes and what you're able to bring, what other things do you remember bringing with you or anything like that? I mean, were there toys or anything that you felt you were bringing with it, or was it mostly just your personal possessions?
We just had our clothes and that. We didn't have any much toys. In fact, I can't remember any toys.
Do you remember coming into the country or anything going through lines or waiting for things to happen while you were coming through customs or anything like that?
I just can't remember that.
Okay. What were the reasons that your parents decided to go to Canada? Was it mostly the work, or was it the, again, you, mostly, as you said, it was the Commonwealth and you could easily go there?
Exactly. Also, my dad had been traveling before he got married. And he knew that he could get jobs all over the world. And the thing is, he had confidence enough to feel he could get a job in Montreal.
And this traveling all over the world, do you remember where he had gone or anything about that?
Well, he had taken his mother to Canada, and she had a little problem with drinking, and he took her all over Canada, and she's buried someplace near Vancouver.
All this time, he had a job, and he was supporting her during this?
He found jobs as all this time.
And they were together for this part of this time, then?
Yeah. He took care of her until she passed away.
Mm-hmm. Then when did you decide to enter the U.S.? And why the U.S. in the sense that you had come into Canada, and why not just stay in Canada? Do you have any idea why they came into the U.S.?
Money was a big thing. I mean, because they never had too much. And so therefore, jobs and the availability of jobs were the driving thing.
Mm-hmm. So he could get more money in the States.
And he figured he could get more money, and there was more opportunities.
Some of the times you spent, you've indicated that he had different types of jobs, and one of the things it says is automobile draftsman, but that was not the only thing he did. He worked in other areas.
He worked in machine design, machining, or he was a draftsman, and he could do most everything as far as mechanical and drafting.
You don't feel he had a specialization in the sense that something he preferred to do?
No, it just the main thing was make money.
You also indicated that at some point in time you had lived in a mining town.
That's right.
And where was that?
Dome Mines up in Canada.
And what did he do? I mean, what type of machinery or drafting did he do for them?
In other words, a mine goes down in the ground, and they have to have supports for the various tunnels and railroads. And he worked on all those kind of things.
And so he'd do drawings that would represent the mine shafts and all the support systems.
What support stuff they needed. And then he was in Dome Mines, but then that was a pretty cold area, but there must have been something. He ran out. In other words, you don't have a real long-term jobs. And so apparently things got quieted off, and he went to Noranda in Quebec.
Is this a mine also?
This was a copper mine.
What do you remember of? I mean, these are all in Canada.
These are all in Canada. One, Noranda, is in Quebec. And the other one, Dome Mines, was in Ontario.
And this is after you had come in through Montreal?
This is all after. The first job he had was in some sort of a Montreal machine shop.
Do you know if you went then to Dome Mine? Was that the next stop, or did you go? Don't remember.
I just think after the Montreal work diminished, he then figured I'll go to the mines, because he had already done that when he was younger.
You mean on these other trips that he'd come across?
What do you have? Yeah. He was familiar with quite a lot of parts of Canada.
At Dome Mines, what do you remember of it? You were about how old would you say?
Gosh. All I remember is that it was cold, and he had sidewalks. In other words, the sidewalks were out of wood, and you walked any place you wanted to go. And Dome Mines, you could walk around the mine. My mind becomes fuzzy on that.
What type of mine was it?
Gold mine.
Oh.
And the only thing I remember about the gold mine business was someone had stolen nuggets of gold and hid them under a rock. And, of course, as kids, he loosely turned over rocks to see what went on underneath them. And we discovered these nuggets of gold and brought them home. And my father then took them into the mine. And they, of course, thanked him. But he was honest that way.
Yet at the same time, when he had enough of working at the mine, he then moved off to another job. What caused him to move to the next job?
Well, he went from one mine to another.
Was he laid off? I mean, is that typically the way he
was? Well, sometimes he was laid off. Sometimes he got a disagreement with his boss, and he would quit and then go to another job.
Why would he disagree? What do you think the cause of the disagreement was?
It was, in other words, my father figured out this is a way to do it. In other words, he didn't want arguments. He knew what he wanted to do. So
there was a right way to do it. It was his way.
It was his way. And if they disagreed, he would fight to get his way. If he couldn't get his way, he'd probably quit.
And at Dolmine, was it flat there? Was it hilly? Were there, what type of environment was around Dole?
Well, Dolmine was in Upper Canada, and there was lakes all around. It was quite in the wild. And in Dolmine, it was cold.
So you remember the snow, huh?
We remember how cold it was. And we sled, and we learned how to skate, I think we learned. Can't remember exactly where we learned, but we became ice skaters.
Hamley typically would rent one of these company houses or something like that. Company houses.
It wasn't a house, company house. It was just a house, and they were able to rent it.
Just the, stores in the town, a general store.
Not much stores. I can't remember. There was not much stores. I can't remember exactly.
And I think you said earlier at one point in time something about heating the house. Was this the Dolmine house or another?
This was the Dolmine house. On the front, they had a porch that was glassed in. Then they had a living room, a dining room, and a kitchen. And then the second floor had the bedrooms, two bedrooms. And we had downstairs stoves burned coal, and that's the heating element. That's the only heat you got. And my mother raised geraniums on that porch because of the sunlight and the amount of light that comes out of that glassed-in porch.
So she liked gardening?
She liked, raising plants.
With the coal-burning stove, was it the typical thing is soot and dirt? How do you have a feeling of anything about the town and what it looked like and how big it was?
All I remember is where the school was. As near as I, I think it was up on a hill and we walked to school. But that's vague in my mind.
And so then you went off to this, something happened where your father then moved to a new mine and you would follow, the family would pack everything up and...
We'd go all this time to be wherever he was.
And do you have any idea how you got there? In other words, was it car, was it train?
I don't think he had a car. It was probably by train.
But he'd have to rent or hire someone to move the materials of the house or what little you had.
Well, I don't have that memory.
Mm-hmm. Your mother had to handle all that movement and stuff like that.
Right, they had to do that.
So he would go on ahead, typically?
He would go there first, and then she would come after he had established himself and where we were going to live.
And your schooling was then disrupted? You had to start again?
We had to go to new schools, right.
And what happened when you came to the new school, typically?
That I can't remember.
So they just placed you in the grade you were in?
Most of the time.
And what happened? There were some other times where other things happened. What happened?
Well, let's see. There's one place we moved in Windsor, Ontario, and Mother took us to the school, and the principal picked a big book off of his shelf and started to ask us how to spell these words. And that determined whether we went into the grade that we wanted to or were shoved back a grade. And because I couldn't spell very well, we were shoved back. The timing of all of this is just, I'd have to take a sheet of paper and try to put it all together, because that incident I just talked about was in Windsor, Ontario. And that's when he went to get another... He was now working in the automobile business. So
after the mines, he began to get involved with the automobile drafting work.
He went... the automobile drafting came about... to try and put it into some sort of a sensible system or an item, because we came to Buffalo. We went to school 45, and they didn't teach spelling very well in Buffalo. It wasn't as important. And that's why when we went to Windsor...
So you left the U.S. to go back to Canada for another job.
For another job. That's why it's so...
So in the time frame that you came into the U.S., and then went back out to Windsor. At that point, that's when you were quizzed and you were held back a grade.
Right.
And how many times do you think you were held back?
Just that once. Because then after that, we went Canada and Windsor, Ontario. And then we went over to Detroit, and we went to school in Detroit, and that's where he learned about the automobile draft.
So you came back into the U.S., and then you applied for citizenship back in the U.S. around that time, which is what your mother wrote about.
Right.
Finally, you got to Buffalo, and you graduated when you were about how old?
I graduated from
Tech High School.
Tech High School in 1938.
So which puts you at about 21. Most people graduate from high school at 18, so there's 3 years. And the question is, you got held back 1 year for sure that you're aware of.
And you go from one country to Scotland to Canada, and you get more, you had different ways of establishing what grade you went into.
Did that bother you at all, or were you aware that you were older than most of the other people?
No, I accepted it. Nothing you can do about it.
Are there any other memories that you've got that stand out, that you think are interesting things that you remember as you were growing up, that are things that set your personality or made things that you decided, this is the way I want to be?
Well, there's certain areas that had an influence. And when we lived in Auburn, Indiana, I worked for a greenhouse keeper and learned how to take care of all the plants, geraniums and stuff like that, plant gladiolas, how to maintain gardens, how to hoe. And this one in Auburn, Indiana, that was an automobile company. And then suddenly that place lost business, and we experienced a depression in Auburn, Indiana. And that was where the only money we had in to the family was me delivering newspapers, and how much money I made on newspapers is the only cash they had.
So your father lost his job, your mother wasn't working, and you were basically trying to bring in money help the family.
I had this one newspaper job, and I worked for this gentleman in a greenhouse. So vegetables and stuff like that were it. You know, I was able to get certain things for the family.
Does that now, since then, you've always had a green thumb, do you think that helped foster a green thumb, or just your work ethic?
No, I liked raising things, and that was the beginning of it.
And at the time, did Jim work, or was it just in, about how old were you? It was before high school.
It was before going to Tech High School.
And so right now, did you get the job because the family said you wanted, you must get a job, or did you just felt that that was the right thing you needed to do?
You mean as far as the newspaper?
Yeah.
No, it was just the idea that you could earn some money by delivering newspapers. You rode on your bicycle and folded the newspaper and flipped them up on the front porch.
You did this before school?
After school.
So you had a bicycle?
Oh, yeah. Both of us. In other words, we had one bicycle for both of us for a while, and then they got us both bicycles. And we traveled all over the little town, Auburn, Indiana.
And there was a manufacturing plant there also?
There was Auburn Cord Car Company was in Auburn, Indiana.
And you say your father got laid off there. That's why you were struggling.
Business went down during the Depression, as you all realize.
And yet he moved out of Auburn to come to where? Where'd he go after Auburn? I assume he went to Buffalo.
He came to Buffalo because he knew there were automobile companies here in Buffalo.
And the Depression hadn't hit that hard.
Pierce Arrow was still here, and he was able to go and get a job at Pierce Arrow. And then he met some of the men working in the Pierce Arrow that impressed him, and they indicated they had gone to Tech High School. And then Dad made up his mind that we're going to go to Tech High School.
Oh, so how did you get into Tech High School? Did you have to take a test, or was it just something you had to live in a certain area?
We went down there and applied to get in, and I can't remember if there was any tests. I think there was a test when Jim went in, but there was no test when I went in.
About how big was it? Do you have any idea? I mean, I don't mean physically size. How many students do you think were in your graduating class?
Gosh. I don't... can't put a number on it, but I'm sure that the graduating class, because you had architecture, you had math, had machine designers, and architects. I mean, it was all a technical school, and it was got the basic for all the. In other words, we had geometry and trigonometry. We got all the math ones, and we did drawings. We had all afternoon drafting times. So we made drawings when we were there.
And when you said that there were specializations, so what was your specialization?
Machine design.
And is that because you chose it?
Yeah, well, that was also realizing my father had an influence, and... But I can't remember exactly why I took machine design, but it has something to do with machinery.
Were you comfortable with it, or you?
Oh yeah, no, I didn't. I had a fine time.
So it was, even though it might have been influenced by your father, it was something that you found comfortable.
Something I enjoyed, right? Because I think I started to do a little freehand drawing, sketches and stuff. Or pencil drawings.
And your brother follow along in the same manner, machine design also?
He was told he had to go to Tech High School, and he took machine design, same course that I had been at.
And you were in the same high school at the same time?
He was...
He's 2 years younger than you, but with all the changes in grades and things like that, do you remember if he graduated 2 years behind you?
Then the Technical High School, 1936... He was 4 years behind me.
So he got held back even more, you're saying?
Well, he graduated from school 8, which is 8th grade, in 1934.
So you went, Tech High School was a 9th through 12th grade, a 4-year?
It was a 4-year high school.
And did you have to take, how did you get to Tech High School? Was it near your home? Or did you have to bus or bike?
We had to walk. And if we, I'm trying to think of where we lived, but it was in the Cold Spring section of Buffalo.
Cold Spring?
Yeah, it was on Maston Avenue and Woodlawn Avenue in Buffalo. And the school for Jim was a little, not too far away. He could walk to school. And I had to walk all the way down Maston Avenue to Clinton Street. And that was a long, long haul. And that's the way you got to school.
How far? I mean, now that you've been driving for a number, how far do you think
it
was?
I would say 3-4 miles. 3 or 4. 3 miles at least.
So take about an hour to walk home?
I can't remember exactly.
Mm-hmm. And when you graduated from high school, what did you do?
When I graduated, I got a job. You had to take whatever job that was available. And the job that I found was working for Frontier Oil Company, fuel oil company, in their heating and ventilating department. I did home inspections. In other words, I figured all the area and the rooms and the windows and how many BTU. So that was my first 2 years of work, Frontier Fuel Oil.
And what happened? 2 years? What made you change?
Almost 3 years. And then I figured that I should get a better job with more... in other words, I have to have a longevity. So I wanted to get into a government job. So I took a test for mechanical engineers, and I got a job in Brooklyn Navy Yard, and I had to go down to Brooklyn.
So you took a test in Buffalo, and you got passed this test, and then you were assigned to Brooklyn Navy Yard?
We tried, they told us what jobs were available, and then you had to make an application for those particular jobs. And there was a job available in the Brooklyn Navy Yard, and I was supposed to be on a machine design draftsman. And I went down to New York and stayed in the Y. The YMCA in Brooklyn was not too far away from the Navy Yard, and I was able to walk. I took my car down because I had a 1939 Chevy, but then when you go to New York, you have to have a parking garage, and that would have cost me $10 or $12. And so I took the car and left it home, gave it to Jim.
So wait. So you never took the car down to Brooklyn, or you took
it
down and then brought it back up again and left it home?
Right. I left it. In other words, I had to find a parking spot for it, and that was very expensive. So that's one weekend I drove back home and took a train back down. Or no, it was a bus, Greyhound bus.
Took a bus. bust out. Oh, boy. And came back in and started work now at and staying at the Y, walking to work at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, doing machine design. Is this, I assume, Navy Yard, something dealing with ships?
Dealing with ships.
Was it?
But then when I got to there, all the jobs were is not no experience on doing any of the machine design. All you were doing is changing little applications of where this particular thing was to go on or had been put on. And so you were just making little changes on drawings.
So the drawings already existed.
Yeah.
And you were basically editing the drawing.
We were just adding information to the drawings.
What type of information?
Well,
I mean, in other words, was it drawn or was it just textual?
No, it was all printing. It's just printing out words.
And you were doing this 8 hours a day?
Yep. And that's. So
and how long did you do this?
I stayed at it for a year because my father said you should have a year experience. And I stayed there for a whole damn year.
And what?
Oh, sorry.
What did you do? I mean, okay, you're there a year and you're working. After work, what would you do?
Well, we go to movies and shows in New York.
And was it a group of people that were all working at the Navy Yard that you...
There was a group of people, but you didn't make any too many friends because they were there and they lived in Brooklyn someplace. But you lived in the Y and you only had the Y people and they weren't that friendly.
So what happened?
Well, after I put in the year, I decided that my father had already started in Bell Aerospace Company, and so I went to, he told me that I could go and talk to the chief draftsman. I went and talked to the chief draftsman. He gave me a job, and I was in other words, you got initial job, and I just, you made little changes on various big sheets of paper, and that was the beginning of your education. You just started to, and finally, I must have hit it off with the head of the empennage group, and that's where I started on the airplane.
Tell me what empennage means.
Empennage is tail surfaces, the fin, rudder, elevators, and stabilizer.
When you graduated from high school, you were 21. You went and worked for Frontier for 2 to 3 years, so that put you at about 23 to 24. Then you worked down at Brooklyn Navy Yard for a year until you came back again, so that'd be 24 or 25.
Right.
And so you joined Bell Aircraft around 24 or 25.
They hired me in 1940.
So the war was about ready to start.
Yeah.
You didn't get drafted.
No, I got a deferment because I worked in Bell Aerospace Company.
So because you worked in a defense company,
yeah,
you were deferred. Were you happy about that, or what was your feelings?
Well, I assumed that, might as well keep on going because I wasn't a great one to take a gun and shoot anybody. So.
Why is that?
I wasn't a gun character. All righty. That's a big bunch of... Okay.
That wasn't too bad, was it?
I'm sorry if it's so, Oh, boy. Let's put it back in the gizmo here.
Yeah, you've got to keep all that together. The picture of your mother, some of those pictures would be useful to have copies made. So one of the possibilities is you could loan them to me. And I'd make copies for the grandchildren and for David and Linda and their children. So,
okay.
Up to you if you want to do that. So anything else you want to end? Let's see. Today is October the 9th, 2006. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning when we started, and it's now about 10:45. And Dad's tired right now. He's all talked out, so he doesn't want to talk anymore. So he's cleaning up, putting his stuff away, because he's done. anything else you want to end with?
Been quite an interesting life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For a guy who moved all over the place as a young person, from town to town to town, and had to adapt to new situations, yet once you got settled in Buffalo back again, you didn't want to move around again.
Well, I mean, if your father had moved around. You would like to have been in one spot out of all over the place.
I think it depends upon the individual. I think there are some people that like the travel and like the change and don't want to have the long-term enduring relationships. So we're sorting through all these papers here and trying to get them organized.
Any swearing I've done is apologetic.
Okay, we're going to turn off the recorder now and hit stop on it. This is going to be it. This concludes the interview of Colin Stewart Watt Jr. by Brian Donald Watt on October the 9th, 2006.